I have two examples of honest communication that I'd like to share with you as a way of introduction. You know, kids have a way of cutting to the chase in the things that they say. You know, this is a conversation between a six-year-old boy and his dad. The son asks, "Dad, can we get a cat?" Dad answers, "Your mom is allergic to cats, so no." Son asks, "When mom dies, can we get a cat?" Dad answers, "Sure." Still a way to get the cat in the kid's mind, you know? Even if people are going to die. My goodness. Okay. All right. Second example. I had a philosophy and religion class in college, and I remember a professor being very articulate, maybe a little bit too much. This guy really had a good use of words, and half the time you'd be like, "What did he say?" You know, he'll make a statement something like this. The teleological argument presupposes an intelligent designer and therefore reveals the divine expression visible in the creation's order. Okay. And one guy who was in the class who was developmentally delayed but was attending and trying to get through school, he had the guts to raise his hand. There's like 100 people in this lecture. He said, "Sir, could you please say that in English?" So, whole class, it was the moment that I'll never forget. I just remember, like, this kid was just very, very sincere that these big words, and sometimes they do mean a lot, and you can, you know, people do take a lot of time to go to school and become educated to learn these big words that really nobody cares about, right? But the truth of the matter is they do mean something. But we want to talk about the importance of saying things clearly in real language, in English. And the Bible tells you that Jesus Christ proved his perfect love for you. Amen? How did he do it? On a cruel cross. He died in your place and was punished in your place. In John's Gospel alone, and I've been getting reacquainted with John's Gospel, I'll tell you, when my own heart needs a lift, read the Gospel of John. It is just such a, oh my goodness, there's so many things in John's Gospel. Number one, I want to tell you a couple things. Jesus proved that he was God in flesh by every miraculous work. He speaks to a man who was lame for 38 years and says, "Rise up and walk. Take up your bed and walk." And the man does, 38 years. Just laying. The angel comes to stir that water, and he says, every time the angel comes to stir the water, I can't even get through. And Jesus settles his dilemma that day and says, "Rise up and walk," and he walks. Later in John's Gospel, just believe in John chapter 6, that lame the lame man who was healed is in John chapter 5. In John chapter 6, we have the account of Jesus feeding 5,000. Andrew says to Jesus, "There is a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." Jesus says, "Bring them to me." "Tell everyone to sit down." And he feeds all of them, and there's still food left over. Amen, right? He heals a man who was blind since birth and restores his sight. And the whole community can't get over it. They're just hung up on it, you know. And the guy's like, this much I know. I was blind, and now I see, right? He's got to convince them. He raises Lazarus from the dead. These are all in John's Gospel. He raises Lazarus from the dead, who had already been in the tomb now 4 days. And they said, if you had been here, he would not have died. And at that moment, you see the humanity of Jesus, and he weeps over his friend. But he also calls Lazarus forth. And he comes out in those grave clothes, and he's alive. Can you just imagine that moment? And I've been thinking there's a full-length video on the Gospel of John, just recounting all those scenes that I would like to show here the week before, leading up to Easter. We did a movie a year ago. But just to actually see the account in John's Gospel being relived on a motion picture, believe we're going to be able to show that. And just so you get your mind, sometimes you need to be touched again by the reality of these miracles. the fact that God is the God that you and I serve, and the miracle of miracles, because those are all amazing miracles. But in those cases, those people's bodies still had to go through that decay process and death. You know, in Christ, they were obviously new and born again, and they trusted the Lord. But the miracle of miracles is that Jesus Christ raises his own body from the dead. Remember what he says in John chapter 2? Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up on the third day. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He is in perfect harmony with Father and Son and Holy Spirit. He is the Son. There's a perfect harmony, a perfect unity. There is no separation. They function together in complete unity, in harmony. And as you think about the Lord that you serve, you have to think about, I serve a God who raised himself from the dead, and he's alive forevermore, and he is coming again. Amen. John chapter 10, verses 33, 37, and verse 38 are sobering words for all of us, and certainly for the Jesus deniers. The Jewish religious leadership of his day were saying that we're stoning you. They pick up rocks to stone him. It's amazing how God has got his own. He's got everything covered. They're not going to take his life here. But they're... because they believe that he broke the Sabbath. We're stoning you not for any good work, but for blasphemy. You, a mere man, this is the scriptural record, claim to be God. You, a mere man. So if you ever questioned, did Jesus claim to be God in human flesh, right here in John chapter 10. And these unbelievers know this is what his claim is. They know his claim. You, a mere man, claim to be God. If I do not, and Jesus goes on to say, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. So he's saying, then who's responsible for these works? But if I do, though you do not believe, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me. See, if you believe the miracles, you'll get to him. If you actually understand what Christ has done and who he is, you're always going to arrive that he's God in human flesh. And he demands to be worshipped. He can demand that because he's God in human flesh. Unless you believe in me, you will die in your sin, he says. These are strong words. And you wouldn't be here this morning, I'm sure, if you didn't want to know him. If you didn't want to experience God in a vital way in your life. And we can please God by believing him. And guess what we have to do? We have to keep believing him. This is the warfare for the believer, is that somewhere in our experience, sometimes I think we've already believed enough. I've believed enough. I believe Jesus died for me. Are you believing him right now for whatever's going on in your brain? In 1 John chapter 5, these things John writes, and you got to keep in mind, the writer of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation is a Jewish man who wants Jews who have already, basically the Jewish leadership, has denied that this is God's son. God allows this Jewish nation to put his own son on that cross, and they're held responsible for that. But God wants them to still believe. And these things he says, I have written to you who believe. This is John writing in 1 John chapter 5. That's later, right before the book of Revelation, just a little before that. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. See, this is so important. God wants you to know you have eternal life. That you may know you have eternal life. And that you... this is like the second part. That you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you realize how freeing that is? I can tell you something. The pastor continues to need to believe Jesus for everything that he says is in his word. People think, oh, you're the pastor. You're over this stuff. No, I'm not. I am still in need to keep believing Because as I continue to believe, God has this way of opening up my brain and my heart to more things. I love what Mark's gospel says. He says, just like and we want to be like the common people. In Mark chapter 13, you know, the religious muckety-mucks, they thought they had this thing all figured out, and they're ready to deal with and put Jesus away and stone him, and eventually they crucify him. Like the common people that Mark mentions, and it should be said of us too, that we hear him gladly. Do you hear Jesus gladly? In my heart there rings a melody, right? Is it really there? I like to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, just several of those verses. And we started a little bit last week, and I'd like to go back in there for a few minutes this morning. Believers who trust God and grow in their faith, God takes special delight in them. And there's many warnings about the consequence of not going forward in belief, not continuing to trust God. There are so many things in my own world, in my own life, that I can come up and view them as problems. These are big ones, God. How is this going to take place? And I did put these 3 points on the back of your bulletin. 2 of them will go up on the screen. But number 1, there will be a strong warning here. And see, you know what? Here's the reality. When you get into a book like 2 Thessalonians, there's a lot of crazy stuff that's still going to come upon the earth. I was listening, and if you get a chance to listen, I believe it's 90.5 today at 3 p.m. is a broadcast with Jan Markell. And she's interviewing a pastor, Billy, somebody might know his last name anyway. Billy Crone. Billy is an amazing researcher of technology. Billy, I never heard something so interesting in my life that every time we talk to Siri, every time we talk to Alexa and she talks back to us, and that we have every bit of helpful communication that we can like anything we want. Even if you're not on Facebook, every time you hit the like button, you know what? Facebook's tracking you. Just saying, hey, that is cool. Like, see, people, I don't do a whole lot on Facebook. Some of you know. Some of you wish me happy birthday. If I haven't gotten back to you, that's probably why. But anyway, very insightful. And he says, this is not the time to be fearful, but to be faithful. Right? So we can still utilize the technology. But to me, it is just amazing the time when this pastor goes on to talk about the type of surveillance that will be in the world at the time of the Antichrist, where things are seen by the Antichrist, is because the infrastructure is here. It is here. You are being tracked whether you like it or not. You and I are being tracked. Yeah, sure, it doesn't seem all that interruptive to our life. But the pastor brings out some wonderful, just some really cool things. So if you get a chance today, 3 to 4 o'clock, you can actually listen to her broadcast online. I was encouraged. And I think when we get to a book like 2 Thessalonians, unless you have the first things first, Dennis likes to say to put the big rocks in the jar first. And these Thessalonians were dealing with many of the same questions, is that did they miss the rapture? Has the day of the Lord already started? Is all this persecution, all this pain, all this problem? You look at what's going on in China. People are calling this locust destruction. They're calling it a biblical proportion. These farmers are weeping that their crops are being devoured. And so trouble, persecution, hardship, bankruptcy, finances, divorce, death, you name it, can all get your mind on things that we start to focus on the circumstances. And it can look a lot bigger than it is, but Jesus. And that's why you have to familiarize yourself. This is safeguard. Paul would say things like this: to write these things to you is a safeguard. Is no trouble for me. It's a safeguard. You're going to probably hear a lot of repetition on this pulpit in that Sunday school with Mark. We're saying a lot of the same stuff week after week because guess what? We leak. You leak. Your brain leaks, okay? What you put in there yesterday is not guaranteed to hold you today. You can't live on yesterday's food. You got to keep taking it in. You remember that? Remember that meal you ate 7 months ago at that restaurant? No, right? You didn't. You can't live on that. As great as the occasion is, as great as our victories might be, even in this church, my wife has heard some of my whining lately, and you won't ever hear that part of me, but I'll only tell you that I whined. And I said, basically, you know what I think it is? I want to be perfect. I want it all figured out. I want this all just working. Just don't have to, basically, I don't have to trust God. Wow. From my own heart, I realize that still moving forward with Christ is going to be required, even of the pastor. All right? Amen. Thank you, guys. Because we're living in a day where it seems that the Christian message is all the more, like, you know, you speak up and you're ridiculed or... But trust God for Him to do what God can do. All right, let's read this together. I'm going to read this. You're going to watch it come up on the screen. And I think this gives us great hope, knowing that we've got the big rocks in the jar first, that we know what's true, and we're sticking to it. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, you think about these words of the apostle, and he's affirming them. One of the things that the believer will need on a regular basis is assurance. And there is a clear statement that the apostle gives to these believers, and it's a pattern for the way that you and I are to think, is that we want to think like this. We want to get our brain around truth that is stabilizing to our own heart. Paul is thanking God for them. If you look in this first point here, a strong warning. And before I get there, I just say that you have to look at this and say, why would the apostle want to affirm these believers in this amazing truth? Because this gospel has taken up residence in their lives and in their midst. And he's holding these people up as an example, talking about the love that is spreading one for another, because your faith grows exceedingly in the love of every one of you, all abounds towards each other. I said it last week, you know, you get into any local church, you're going to find people, and you're going to find people who not like you. And that's okay, because God's playing field is leveled because of what Christ did for us in that cross. And I think if we don't get this thing right, so many things don't get right in the local church. And that's why when you look at this, Paul would say in other places, we now recognize no one any longer according to the flesh. In other words, I'm not evaluating you because, you know, whatever. And as a pastor there, you know, I find at times where I want to give everybody grace. I want to give everybody compassion. And sometimes I might get a black eye because of it. Like, I look like Bill, you know. Love you, brother. You know, sometimes you, because I really believe that the gospel is powerful. If I didn't believe that, I couldn't do this every week. I could not stand up here. I know. I talk to people in our church. And there's some messy stuff in people's lives. Stuff that goes back really deep. Can be very difficult. Hard to shake. Hard to shake the memory. The should have, the could have, the would have, the regrets. And yet, God says, you come too. You come too. I'm inviting you to come. And so when this love is experienced at the level that the apostle is defining it and how it's taken hold of their heart, because there's so much in these letters that will stabilize you when everything else will tell you that you can't be stabilized. And Paul so much says here, he boasts among them that you guys are getting it done. See, this is the other thing, is it's not so much how dedicated a church is. It's really how much that these believers are empowered by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. How the Word of God has laid hold of their hearts. Where they take God at His Word. Where they keep looking into the perfect law of liberty that brings them freedom. That they stop looking so much at themselves and what they could have done differently. We all could have done things differently. Somebody said to me recently that most of us would have done it differently if we could have done it differently. What do you do with that? What do you do with things that you wish you could have done differently? You bring them to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Because that's the only reliable starting point. That's the only consistent starting point. The thief on the cross. That was his amazing point of just recognizing, I'm going to come to him. I'm going to ask him a very non-traditional, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pour out my heart to him and tell him how sorry I am. I'm just going to ask him to remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's a king. This man understood. He heard about Jesus. He knew he was a king, and the king is now dying on the cross in their place. See, we got to get this right. If it does any of us any good to remind ourselves that we should see ourselves as that thief on that cross and just say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's how good our Jesus is. Hey, today you'll be with me in paradise. See, that's our God. But see, the challenge is now, and I think the Thessalonians are this amazing example of working through questions. The apostles faithful. The apostle couldn't stay in Thessalonica. He had to go because the persecution was getting so crazy. And these believers are left there. And now they have questions like, this is getting really hard, basically. Did we miss the things that you taught us? Did the rapture happen? Did Jesus call, you know, like the questions that come? And then you need to know, because see, knowledge, really true knowledge in the Word of God helps you grow. If you set that aside, sometimes you're wondering, like, why isn't my life? Yeah, amen, baby. Amen. We'll just go with that one. Babies are in the house. God wants babies to grow. That's a good opportunity to talk about the milk of the Word, right? Amen. That milk of the Word is, and as you take that milk in and you get nourished and reassured, it is so vitally important that you keep growing. We don't want to plateau in our Christian life and our thinking. See, Christians need to learn how to think correctly. It's important to live correctly. Anybody can kind of like look like a Christian. Like, I do all the right things. I don't do that. I don't go here. You can fall into a trap of actually putting more emphasis on what you don't do than actually growing in your understanding. God would rather have you growing and falling down and realizing your own flesh is still very vile, and it will take you places that you still don't want to go. But it's better for us to learn how to think correctly with God. Think God's thoughts. There's so much here. which is, Paul talks about, he says, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Who makes us worthy but Jesus? He already makes us worthy. How can we be counted worthy? We continue to take him at his word and we believe him in spite of what's going on in our broken lives. That's the key thing here. I would like to fix not only all my problems, but your problems. But God wants to use your problems and my problems to continue to push us up against him, to trust him. I'm asking a lot of God, but he can do it. A strong warning, okay? Here's the strong warning. God's going to pay back people who hate the gospel. People who dismiss the gospel. People who say the gospel isn't the only way. They fight with this intellectual pursuit to minimize what the cross accomplished. And they work as an enemy of God. They spend their energy, their life, in sort of in devotion to ruin people and to destroy that message. God takes that very seriously, and he will deal with those people. He still says to repent. He still says to believe. He still tells them that Christ is the only way. In him are all the treasures of wisdom. Christ is everything. He is everything any of us ever are seeking for. He is the one. He proved it. He's God in human flesh, and he demonstrates that in all of his miracles. And that's why when you're a Thessalonian believer, or you're a Wareham believer, or you're a Mattapoisett believer, or you're whatever, Plymouth, who else is here? Bourne, Sagamore, New Bedford, I get them all? Falmouth, okay, a few others, Onset. You can't forget the backyard. This is one of those moments I say, where was I? Because I'm like everywhere. Oh, praise the Lord is good. God wants us to know these truths and we can live them. Not so much in dependency of our own strength, because by the end of this short chapter, he's going to talk about what did it take for these Thessalonian believers to get it done. What does it take for Grace Lighthouse Church to get it done? It is leaning upon the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus until he calls us home. That's what it's going to take. Leaning on the everlasting arms is saying, Lord, fill me by your Holy Spirit. Once again, I know I have the Holy Spirit, but I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not for craziness. I'm just going to say, you guys know me by now. I may be a hyper, sort of crazy. I'm not a Pentecostal in the sense that I think we should be very reasonable, very wise in how we interpret the Word of God. Do I believe God can heal? I do. Can God heal? He can heal. Does God always heal? No, he doesn't. And it's not because that person had a lapse of faith. And sometimes we put, if someone didn't get healed, they didn't have a lack of faith. That's a bondage. That can be very dangerous. Paul talked about his infirmities and how those infirmities actually brought him closer to knowing the true power. In my weakness, I am strong. I will gladly boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ would rest upon me. I will pray with anybody about any circumstance, about anything that's going on in our lives in this church. I will ask God to bring healing. I will trust him. But if for some reason that healing doesn't come in that full, you still have that amazing glorified body that you are guaranteed to receive. God wants you to know that. He wants you to know that. See, this is why sometimes we want to get out of our difficult circumstances. We want to get out of them. We just want it all fixed. We want the magic wand to be. But see, how are you and I going to grow in that? How do we grow? God uses trials and pressures to bring. And that's what I believe he used in the life of these Thessalonians. And he's also assuring them, I've got you covered. There's everlasting destruction for people who stand against this beautiful grace of God that was accomplished at the cross. This Jesus who they nailed to that cross, and his, and that's what Jesus was saying. You guys want to stone me? Because they really did know the truth. They really did. And they were convicted. He was God in human flesh. Just as the centurion puts the spear into his side, he says, surely this is the Son of God. Everything about the Lord Jesus, everything about him proved that he was God. And that's why in order for us to be counted worthy in one sense and actually live experientially in one sense worthy We have to trust God. We have to keep believing Him. I have to keep believing. I actually love the design of that little church. And I'm thinking, that would look so cool. You know, that's like a little beacon. Yeah, we're going to supersize that thing. But God will supersize it if we trust Him for that. The scripture has been coming back to my own heart in this whole process. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman watches in vain. I want so much to see what God wants to do, but I also don't want to miss the opportunity for us to grow through this thing together. This is what's so cool. It's not about that building being built. It's about how God, what did God do in the lives of these believers in that process, that we glorified Him, we trusted Him. We trusted Him through Brother Bill's flip over accident, and he's here today to praise the Lord again. Amen. You might see a new van out in that parking lot. We're going to be praying for Bill. So here's the strong warning. Just know that God's judgment is promised. God takes no delight in pouring out His wrath. But He will. And He's promised to do so. Because of unbelief. And unbelief ultimately is a denial of what God did. And so when we think about why is this day coming, God's going to fulfill exactly what He promised. And as many people who want to be saved can be saved. You can count on that. It is right for you. It is right for you to believe that every person around you is a candidate for this glorious gospel. Every person. God wants them in on it. He's already reconciled to them. Isn't that awesome? He's already reconciled to Him. He's done that through Jesus. He's done that exactly through Jesus. And now you just have to come. Why don't we come? What's God going to like hold back something from me? God, I know my own life. Think about the own entanglements that we can get ourselves in. It's like, oh, I thought I was going to make my life really happy with that thing. You know, just go to Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University and just listen about the horror shows that people got because they wanted more and more and more and more and more. They got themselves loaded in debt. Somehow the good life is on the credit card. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But see, these are all reasons for people to come to Jesus. Every one of these is a good reason. We're not beating people up. Just keep coming. We're going to do our best to provide resources and tools that help people to grow. Let's look at number two there in the back. It's a strong witness here. Paul says when he comes in that day to be glorified in His saints, in other words, this is coming, God's going to be glorified in you because it's like, they trusted Me. I saved them. I saved them and they know it. And God's going to be glorified about this amazing salvation. I am just so blessed by Romans chapter 4. I was reading that, and I'll probably get to that in a moment. But just that this work that God has done in salvation through His Son into our lives is unlike anything else. You are as righteous as Jesus Christ. Yes. Oh, my goodness. That's why I can look at you and be like, yes. You can look at me. Yes. We're righteous. If you believe the gospel, if you believe Christ died for you, Jesus is mine. You're as righteous as God. Whoa. Only God can do this. Only God can do this amazing salvation. It's so good. As Hebrews says, it's so great a salvation. We should be blabbing about it a little bit more.
You want to know about Jesus?
Like, what'd you say? You know, sometimes we just got to open up our mouth and say, wow. So there's a strong witness here. He says, because of their testimony, people are believing this gospel. People are believing it. That's like when Bill's out there telling everybody, every bank teller, why the black eye came and how God spared him. It's like he's opening up the door. Use whatever. Go give yourself a black eye if you have to, you know. There are conversational starters in this life. And God's promised that this will happen. Just as Jesus came the first time, He's coming again. We're just realizing that we are just looking forward to His coming. I am just, there are days I just cannot wait. I look at this crazy world. I look at this political divide. I look at what's going to happen, you know, this next election cycle. And it just seems to be just filled with just lots of junk. And But see, this world's not our home. We're just to pass through. And God is good. I thank God for my family every day, what he's doing. I thank God for you. Paul says, I'd much rather depart and be with Christ. Far better, right? Let's just get that clear. Far better to go and be with Jesus. But if I get to be with you, it means that I get to invest my life. You get to invest your life in this time for the glory of God. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you can have those rewards that Christ wants to give you for faithful service. That's faithful service. It's not perfect. You did it as unto the Lord. You did it as unto him. Many of you, I see that in your lives. I'm so blessed by that. It's like, you know what? Just pour it on. Just bring it on. Let the Lord use you in your awkwardness. Ministry can be awkward sometimes. It's crazy. Sometimes, like, you got to get to know people. You got to trust. You got to open up your heart to people. And then, but that's what God does, because God's able to do that saving work. And so the strong witness here is that he says here, because our testimony among you was believed. They received Paul's instructions about Christ died for your sins according to the scripture, that he was buried on the third day and rose again according to the scriptures. And this gospel was believed by them. These people had tons of idols in their life. I mean, these people, this Greek culture, they had like an idol for everything. And now some of these have turned away from idols to serve the one and true Lord. Sometimes we just have to say, Lord, I am just done. I am done with things running my brain. I've got a bunch of idols in that brain. Sometimes it could be worry. It could be fear. It could be putting certain shows in your life every day that cause you to live other people's pain. And sometimes you got to say, you know what, I've got to strengthen my own self up in the Lord. David, as I pointed out last week, David encouraged himself in the Lord. When everything was like blowing apart, villages burned, women and children just taken, and now the people, the men, want to stone him. Look at you've done. You look at you. As they're always going to blame the leader. Look what you got us into, Pastor. You know. Moses went through this. Leaders go through it. You know, leadership can be hard at times, but a leader has to encourage himself in the Lord. That's a good leader. That's a person. You can pray for me. I'll encourage myself in the Lord all the time. All right? So that's the strong witness. It's a testimony. It's like, my goodness, look at that little church in 3065 Cranberry Highway where they used to crush cranberries. As I like what Dennis said at Men's Bible Study. We have crushed lives coming into this church. They used to crush cranberries in this building. Now we have crushed lives coming in, and God is making those lives new. That's a great visual. Wow. Let's keep the crushed lives being turned over and being made new. And here's what I wanted to get to, the strength to walk worthy. You are not on your own to live the Christian life. You are not without help. You are not without strength. Therefore, we always pray, always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. You know, the Bible says that God is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. And I want to get on board with that one. I really do. I want to believe that more and more, that God's at work in us. God's at work in the lives of the church here. He wants to do this in every local church. Of his goodness and the work of faith with power. You realize that as faith is developed in our life, as faith is, as we embrace this wonderful promise that Christ keeps his word, that I trust him, that I know him. I know he will do what he says he will do. And some of that's the big stuff. Some of that is the definite things that are going to get worked out in this life that sometimes we feel like, hey, but think about what it, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, of all these people, they still believed God, even in spite of what they didn't receive. They still trusted God. And that should be the same, because we know that God is faithful. The greatest work that you can experience right now, I believe, is the work of salvation in your own heart. And then that gets built upon. That's the first foundation. And then you continue to build upon that with wonderful truth that reminds you of who you are. And you don't get tired of building yourself up. As you build yourself up, you'll be more effective to build others up. You'll be more effective to open up your mouth for Jesus. Romans chapter 4, talking about how God imputes righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 5, it says, but to him who does not work, see, in other words, you could think that, well, if I just work a little bit harder, that God would love me more. That's a real tendency in all of our hearts. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was also able to perform. In other words, you take God at his word, therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, Abraham believed God. And not only Abraham, but every time a person believes God, God credits to that person the righteousness of Jesus. And I'm talking about believing the gospel. I'm not just talking about, I do believe in God. The Bible says that even the demons, you know, the demons will basically, they know God exists. But unless you actually understand what Christ did for you, and I know many of you do that, and some of you here for the first time, you should make this your day. I want to know that Christ's righteousness has been imputed to my life. I wouldn't walk out that door unless you know that 100%. And if somebody here, you want to talk to me or Mark or Dennis or Ed or others, I would just encourage you, just make sure you're growing in this righteousness. And it says here in Romans 4 at the end of the chapter, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. God is the one who justifies the sinner. He is the one who can declare you not guilty. Guess what? The moment you called upon him, you were declared not guilty. Not guilty. Amen. Thank you. Jesus is right. Now, for us to continue to live with the no condemnation kind of over our head and all the things that you want to be different in your life, that's the necessity for each of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, you gain the Spirit at salvation. Christ sealed you the moment you believed. That's what the Bible says. But now we need a sort of an ongoing reminder, an ongoing filling of his presence. As I said earlier, we leak, right? We're drippy. My faucet is dripping at home all the time. No matter how many times I turn it off, it's still leaking. And some days we get it good, and it's like it's off, but it starts leaking again as soon as we run the water. And I think that's a lot like the Christian. But we want to leak out the good stuff, right? Are you leaking out the good stuff right now in your life? Can we pray together and ask the Lord to help all of us to get this thing right? Let's be counted worthy of this amazing gospel that he's poured into our lives, and we'll move forward by faith in the days to come. Lord, thank you for your amazing grace, for helping us to just to grow in respect to even this warning that the apostle is saying is coming upon unbelievers for the way that they treated the believer. That God sees that, he takes notice of it. Lord, you do bring justice. You do take down people who are going to be nothing but committed to destruction of the gospel. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that they would not remain in a hardened state, that they would turn from their sin and trust Christ, that they would open up their heart. I pray for people in this room this morning that if there have been things holding us back for just believing you. I say this, I would raise my own hand right now. I'm raising my own hand this morning, Lord, that I don't want to be held back by unbelief or lack of trust. I'm saying, Lord, help me. Anybody else want to join me this morning? Thank you. Yes, I see those hands. I'm with you. I'm on board. Lord, we want to believe you again. Keep trusting you for the work that you're doing to settle the issues that are oftentimes plaguing our own hearts, that we would once again see ourselves as Jesus sees us, righteous, holy, made new. And how do we want to be counted worthy of this privileged position? We want to be enjoying what you've already given to us. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Father, I pray for every hand that was raised this morning. I pray for your strength. I pray for whatever the circumstance right now, whatever the pain, whatever the reasons that continue those moments of unbelief, Lord, may we trust you again. I ask you, Father, that you would just surround each and every heart in this room right now with that amazing presence that you bring, that the Holy Spirit would just be magnified in their life. That Christ is already in me, the hope of glory, and I'm going to hold fast that Christ Jesus loves me. He loves me. He poured out his blood for me. He died for me. I'm settled in this truth. And I want to go further with him. We want to see what God wants to do at 3065 Cranberry Highway as we prepare for 2703 Cranberry Highway. Give us guidance and wisdom in your mind on these matters. Give us a love for the people all around us, Lord. Give us love for the people that are yet to be in this church. Build up this place for your glory, I pray. If someone's here this morning, they've never trusted Christ, you've never asked Jesus to save you, you've never put all your, knowing that all your sins already been put on him, and you want to receive that, his credit to your life today. If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody here this morning, you know he credited his righteousness to you. Some of you need to continue to be reassured in that. And I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who said, I don't have this thing really down, but I want to. May this be the day that that becomes more clear to them. And Lord, if anyone's here this morning who says, I've not done this, I've not done that, I don't want to leave here without knowing this, may this be their day, Lord. May they seek me out. May they seek somebody else out that they want to get this settled. We love you, Lord. Thank you. May we praise you this time as we close the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.